Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up the mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen son. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
My homily today is one that I had prayed I'd never have to give. But in the last 16 days, everything has changed. We've all seen the pictures, heard the breaking news reports. We've seen the tanks rolling towards Kyiv. We've seen the cars lined up mile after mile as millions and millions who fear for their lives are scrambling to get out of the beloved Ukraine. We've seen the images of mothers and grandmothers desperate to escape on foot, pushing their children in strollers through the cold. We've watched artillery fire light up the sky, and we've heard the explosions. We've seen pictures of hospitals, schools, and kindergartens destroyed. And we've heard our own lips say, "Oh my God." And I know we all feel a deep sense of despair, a great sense of helplessness. On Facebook and Twitter, again and again, we see the same three words: pray for Ukraine. In real time, we're now witnessing the unbelievable pain and sadness as death and destruction surround our brothers and sisters, people very much like us. But we're also seeing what defines the people of Ukraine. We're being reminded again and again of their resilience, perseverance, fortitude, and most of all, their deep faith. The Ukrainians are certainly on a very sorrowful journey through Lent, a Lenten journey like no other. Early in the invasion, TV cameras showed a group of people gathered in the public square, kneeling on the cold, hard pavement to pray. And one now somewhat famous picture shows a man clinging tightly to the base of a very large crucifix. His whole body seemed to become one with the cross. And even though we weren't there, we became one somehow with him. Somehow our prayers are united with his. And together we call out to God and pray for this insanity to end. And unfortunately, there are so many more people that we don't see. You know, for decades, the church in Ukraine was an underground church, forced to worship in secret when Ukraine was a part of the Soviet Union. And today, that church is literally underground again. Families are seeking shelter and safety in train tunnels and basements. Churches have turned into hospitals. One priest in a suburb of Kyiv said that a rocket attack near his church had killed dozens of people, and dozens more ran to the church looking for a place of safety and shelter. He said they now have well over 100 people living in the basement of their church. Some, he said, have come to make their last confession because they fear death is coming. And while millions are trying to get out of the country, thankfully the clergy and religious are not among those. Even though many of the Greek Catholic priests are married and have families, they're staying to serve. And the bishops are sending even more priests to the most troubled regions so the Mass can be celebrated and hope can be given. One religious brother said, "We don't have time to be frightened. We're staying and helping simply to help our people survive." Bishop Sabilo in eastern Ukraine said he had no intention of leaving. "I came here to serve the people," he said. "This terrible time of war must also turn itself into a blessing, so that goodness and love may win." So my friends, when we pray for the Ukraine, we're praying for people like these. We pray for Archbishop Shevnuk in Kyiv, who was scheduled to be in Rome this past week. Instead, he's living in a shelter in the basement of the Cathedral of the Resurrection. But the Archbishop videotaped a message for his people from that church bunker, and he said, "In this tragic time, all our hopes are in God. We pray for peace in the Ukraine, and we pray for those who defend us." So when we pray for the Ukraine and those people, we're praying for religious sisters who are setting up shelters for refugees. As one of them said, "This is our new mission, to care for those in need, to welcome the refugee." We pray for anxious parents comforting their children. We pray for children who have lost their parents, and for parents who have lost their children. We pray for the fathers and even grandfathers who are lining up to become soldiers. And as Christians, as difficult as it is, we're also called to pray for the enemies of Ukraine, to pray for conversion of heart, and pray, as the bishop said, that goodness and love will win out. You know, just a few minutes ago, we heard St. Paul in our second reading warn us of those who embrace the evil of earthly things. He said, "Many conduct themselves as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is their shame. Their minds are occupied only with earthly things." And sadly, it seems that fear and the desire for power are the only reasons this war was begun. Earthly things. And I know all of us hold on to earthly things. We all have our own pride, our anger, fear. We all like a little power. And certainly, we all sin. So many things that are enemies of the cross of Christ. And I know how difficult it can be to let go of some of those things. But brothers and sisters, that is what Lent is all about. It's about doing what we need to do to see clearly, to live humbly, to give generously, and most of all, to love more deeply. And in all that, to draw closer to the God who loves us. It's about striving to be the disciples of Christ that we want to be, and becoming the blessed peacemakers that we are called to be. As we continue to journey through these next weeks of Lent, as we pray and fast for peace, and through all this, we need to hold on to that one virtue that as Christians we must always hold close: hope. A few years ago, Pope Francis offered a few words on hope. And as we journey through Lent and time of war, I think his words may be helpful to us today. He said, "Work for peace among people, and do not listen to the voice of those who spread hate and discord. As different as they are from each other, human beings were created to live together. In conflicts, we must be patient. One day you will discover that each person is the custodian of a fragment of truth." Love people, he continued. Love them, one by one. Respect everyone's journey. because everyone indeed does have a story to tell. Every child born is the promise of life, which once again reveals itself to be stronger than death. Every love which brings up is a power for transformation, which yearns for happiness. The Holy Father concluded that Jesus has given us a light which shines in the darkness. We must defend it. We must protect it. That single light is the greatest treasure entrusted to your life. And in our gospel today, we heard how Christ was transfigured, became dazzling white, a bright and glorious light for our world. And I think that when we are praying for Ukraine, we're also praying for that light, a light that can dispel darkness and any evil. And pray that Christ's penetrating light, love, and mercy will transfigure us and our world. As we continue our journey, let this be our deepest and most important prayer, that the light of Christ burn brightly, fearlessly, in parts of the world that seem overwhelmed by darkness. May we work to nurture that light in ourselves and find a way to bring it to others. And today, as we prepare to come forward and receive the Most Holy Eucharist, let us remember our brothers and sisters half a world away. Come forward with your hands outstretched, asking the mercy may be upon us, on Ukraine, and on our world. May the Mother of Light, Our Lady of Perpetual Help, the Queen of Peace, intercede for the people of Ukraine today and always. Amen.